Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for just being here to worship you. We're thankful because we have Christmas, so we can remember how you come down to the earth because of us. Bring the peace and the love and the joy to all of us. For the rest, we're going to listen to the message from Deacon John. So I pray the Holy Spirit will use in him to share the message. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be in us so we can listen to your voice and apply for our life. We love you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're going to listen to the message from Deacon John.
So everybody having a good Christmas so far? Now, let me ask you this. Out of all the holidays that we have, Christmas is one of my favorites. It really is. And not only because it's the birth of our Lord and Savior, but it's people are a lot kinder, right, during Christmas. Did you know that charities receive 80% of their donations during the holiday season, right? And not only that, people seem to be a little bit more patient. Well, as you know, every year I give my kids gift cards, right? So everybody has at least something. So while I was at Target, I was in Austin this past week for a client meeting, so I didn't have time to get the gift cards till Thursday, this past Thursday. So I'm in line, and I went around noon thinking that nobody's going to be there. Then there's like 8 people behind me, and they think that I have nothing, right? So they think it's going to be a pretty quick trip. But I have a handful of gift cards that they need to scan in at one time. So when I put it there, I see the look on their face like, oh, my God, this is going to take forever. You know, I can already see that they were impatient, right? So the clerk asked me, she goes, wow, you're buying a lot of gift cards. Who are these for? And I said, these are for my Sunday school kids. And right when I said that, the look on that lady's face like, oh, they're for your kids? Okay. She became way more patient. Way more patient. And way more happy. And she asked what church I went to, right? And that day, I was wearing one of my Active Faith shirts that had Blessed on it. It's a cheap $20 shirt. But out of all the shirts that I own, I had more compliments on that shirt and more people coming up to me and asking, what do you mean by your bless than anything I have ever worn? You know, when I was younger, I used to be all brand name. You had to have the brand name clothing. I'm telling you, the Blessed shirt, by far, is my favorite. And not only that, the English ministry shirt, the one that Ani's wearing. Ani, would you mind standing up? I love this shirt, too. Whoever came up with the design for this one, turn around, Ani, everyone. This shirt has also gotten a lot of comments from me, from people. I remember during Hurricane Harvey, I wore this shirt to help clean out some people's homes. And we were helping one of my wife's aunt's family, and her family is Buddhist. So right when they saw the word servant, they didn't understand. They're like, what do you mean you're a servant? So it's a good opportunity for us to explain why we're here to serve, right? But today, I want to kind of talk to you about, since it is Christmas time, and, you know, I wanted to make things quick and light today, so we'll talk about 10 issues facing Christian Americans today that I think are pretty, you know, important, okay? A diluted faith. Do you think our faith over time has gotten diluted, right? You know what diluted means, right? How many of you had the sweet tea that we make out here, right? How many of you had that? When you first drink it, sweet, right? But after a while, it tastes almost like water, right? Right? So the perfect mix is somewhere right in the middle, right? So let's talk about our diluted faith, okay? In today's society, we have this free agent mentality. What is a free agent? That means that we can go anywhere we want, any team we want. And that's happening with our faith nowadays. We think we can just go, hey, you know what? I'm going to go play for this team. I'm going to play for that team. Or my actions doesn't represent the team that I'm on, right? Think about it. We live in a society today where there's no absolutes. Everybody's like, ah, I don't care. And I was in Austin this past week, and I tell you, it's an eye-opening experience. I haven't been to Austin in a while, but it is quite different than Houston. Okay? Just by the attitudes towards people and, you know, the restaurants that you see. We went to a place called, what was it? I took my clients out there. I would never go there. But it's a place that it was a house that they renoed into this rundown. It made it look like it was a rundown bar, but you can tell it was very, what you call it, hipsterish, right? Everybody in there had a long beard and everything, but it was very different and weird to see, right? And did you know, I was talking to a lot of young people. Do you know that Christianity is no longer the automatic or default faith for young people? A lot of young people are moving away from the church, okay? I talk to a lot of people and they keep telling me that, you know, religion without Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, and politics without God, this is what's driving everybody away from church, okay? Now think about it. When I was a little kid in elementary school, we get to say Merry Christmas. You don't do that anymore, right? Now it's Happy Holidays or, hey, hope you have a good holiday, that's it. You don't hear the terms Christmas anymore. Walk into a store. How many Happy Holiday cards do you see as compared to Merry Christmas cards? Back in the 80s, it was the other way around. Okay? But problem number two is pride, right? Now, one of the biggest sins, right, one of the seven deadly sins is pride, and it opens up the door for everything else to come in. Pride will drive greed. Pride will drive lies. And this was one of the sins that got Satan kicked out of heaven, you know? And a lot of times, you know, just like any family, right, people want to put on their best face. They don't want to admit that, hey, my family has problems or anything, so we put on this fake facade, right? And we move along in life. But the church has that problem too. A lot of times we don't admit that our church has problems, right? That we need to address. We just keep putting Band-Aids over it, right? And I keep telling people this. The first thing you have to do is admit that you're ill before you can get help, right? How many of you people could agree you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped? How many of you have tried, right, over and over again? And I keep telling people they have to want to get help, right? So it's time to love the church back to health. In James chapter 4, verses 6, it says, but he gives us more grace. That's what the scripture says. Oops, sorry. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. That's what I think we all need to be. That's why you have servant on the back of your shirt. That's what we all are, servants, right? We should be humble. But a lot of people nowadays in church, I think, don't want to be humble, okay? And being humble is a good thing. I remember when I started work at Audubon Engineering, I remember I didn't have an engineering degree, but I'm working with all these engineers. So I got put on a project with this project manager by the name of Mike Bateman, okay, one of the best project managers I ever worked with. Big guy, 6'4", 300 pounds. And I was the project engineer assigned to his project. And the first thing I saw him, I went, oh, man, I don't want to work for this guy. This guy looks like a total jerk. And he had a reputation for that. So when I got assigned to his project, he sat me down and went through the plan. And then I was like, man, this guy's pretty smart, okay? So we executed his plan. So we turned around. They gave us this project that nobody wanted. We turned it around. We then made 60% margin for the company. So one day we had a town hall on our floor, and it was about 100 people. And they served food, and the VP was standing up and says, oh, I want you guys to recognize Mike Bateman here. He turned around this Anadarko program. Now we're making great margins, and the customer's real happy. And Mike Bateman, without a blink of the eye, turned around and says, it's not me. It's all John Wynn. And he pointed towards the end. And I was all the way at the end eating. Everybody turned around. And I was like, and he goes, no, it's not me. It's all John Wynn. And by then, just because of that, I swear to you, I had other project managers come up to me and go, hey, I want you on my project. I want you on my project. Because of that one moment, for him, and it wasn't me. It was all him. He orchestrated this plan. He lined up this great plan, and I just executed it. but he gave me all the credit. And, you know, because of that, that really set up my career at Audubon. Then, once he moved on to another project, they gave me that project. And then they gave me other bigger projects. But if it wasn't for him being so humble and kind, right, I would have never got that opportunity there. So I always remember to do that for other people at my company as well. The third thing is Bible literacy, right? The Barna Group studies in 2010 show that while most people regard Easter as a religious holiday, only a minority of adults associate Easter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Like if you ask people today, what is Christmas about? What do you think their answer is going to be? Toys. As kids, you know you love toys, right? Right? What else? Christmas carols, yes, yes. And those are all great things, right? Toys are great. I still love toys. I still do. If they give me a gift card to Toys R Us, I'll be happy. But it's not, right? What is the meaning of Christmas, okay? Same thing, you ask people at Easter, they're like, well, it's about hunting for Easter eggs. That's the only thing. But really, it's amazing on the perception of our Bible literacy, right? Now, it's obvious, right, that the Bible has impacted American culture and history, correct? It has shaped our social systems and even language. Do you know that people unknowingly quote biblical phrases every day? How many of you guys heard of the term a good Samaritan? You know what a good Samaritan is, right? You know where that comes from? The Bible. What about you reap what you sow? How many of you heard of that? You know where it comes from? The Bible. What about do unto others? Right? You know where that comes from? The Bible. So without a doubt, the Bible has shaped our country, our schools, our systems, right? But study after study in the last quarter century has revealed that American Christians increasingly don't read their Bibles. And sadly enough, they don't engage their Bibles. And they don't know their Bibles. How many of you guys are a victim to this? We don't read the Bible enough. Or how many of you guys think that I'm such an expert in the Bible, I don't need to read it? Okay? Now, you know, my mother-in-law, right? She's new to the faith. But the one thing that I have to give her credit for, and you'll very rarely hear me say this, but every morning I see her before I go to work. She's sitting at the kitchen table, drinking her juice, Metamucil or whatever, and you know what she's reading? The Bible. Every day. Before I walk off to work, I see she has her Bible open, and she's looking at it. Don't know if she's reading it, but she's looking at it. Right? But every day, without, like clockwork, she has it open on her table. She reads it, she makes a couple notes, she puts it away, and tomorrow morning, the same thing again. That's more times than I read the Bible this week. Right? And I was born into this faith. So a lot of us need to become more literate with the Bible. Okay? We talk about these holidays. Right? Now, the fourth problem Americans have is, do we have closed minds, right? Do some of us use hate to protect the Bible? Now, let's think about that, right? Now, how many of you agree that some of the most beautiful people do the ugliest things, right? But I should change it. It says some of the most Christian people do some of the ugliest things, right? Let's think about it this way. In recent news, how many of you guys heard of a baker by the name of Jack Phillips? Guys, you got to keep up with current events. Well, Jack Phillips is a Colorado baker. He owns a little bakery in, Lakewood, Colorado. Right? So, he's in the news because he is refusing to bake a cake for a gay couple. Because he's saying that it is against his faith to do so. And he goes, it should be by his right that he should be able to, you know, not go against his religious belief to bake this cake. Now, a lot of people are like, it's just a cake. Why don't you just bake it? And this brings up a good argument because I brought this up to my class and we were kind of split half and half. Now, how many of you agree that Jack doesn't need to bake the cake for this couple? Leo, first one up, right? How many of you believe that Mr. Phillips should bake the cake? See, it's a split, right? Now think about it this way. Mr. Phillips' argument is, he goes, he's an artist. When he bakes a cake, he puts his heart and soul in that cake. So he's like, I don't want to put my heart and soul against something that goes against the Bible, which is fair, which makes sense. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle, but you're not going to contribute to it, right? And I agree with that. But you should win in it. Shouldn't you treat everybody equally, right? They're just another couple trying to get a cake, just like anybody else, right? Now, I'm kind of on the fence for both because, you know, I have gay friends, right? I have talked to a lot of gay people, and if they ask me to bake a cake for them, I'm like, sure, it's not going to taste good, but I'll be happy to do you so. But if you think about it, what would you do? Well, let's make the story a little bit more simple. What happens if you got a job at a shirt making nothing but shirt that says, I like the devil or something? Would you keep that job? No? How many of you guys don't like the number 666? I don't like it. You know, when I drive in my car and it hits that number, I drive an extra mile to make sure it goes up to 667. Right? It's just the little things. Right? So, this is, do we have closed minds? Right? Are we not open enough to deal with society? Right? If you think about it, how has society changed from the 50s to now? Right? Do we need to adapt? Or should we stay strong like Jack Phillips? And Mr. Phillips here is just a small town banker. And he went on the news and he says, look, I'm not trying to go against anybody. I offered them to sell them anything else. Pre-baked cakes where I don't put any effort in. You can buy any of them. He'll be happy to sell that couple of those cakes. Brownies, anything. But he says, if you're making a custom cake for myself, I cannot do it. So now the verdict is going up to the Supreme Court. And I think the verdict is going to be granted on either in June. But this is going to be a major milestone, right? Because this is going to affect a lot of other bakers out there. And, you know, I commend Mr. Jack Phillips for standing up. Because a lot of business owners, what would you do? Yeah, all right, I'll do it. It's funny. If you ever walk into Hong Kong Mall, right? How many of you guys been to Hong Kong Mall? Pretty much everybody. If you walk in there, there's a shop that sells religious items. Doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, Christian, whatever. They have everything for you. And I walked into that shop one time. They had a Buddhist statue next to a Catholic statue and so forth. And I'm like, you know, and the owner was more than happy to sell anything you want. Oh, what faith are you? Don't worry. If I don't have anything here that's your faith, I'll have it next week. Right? So I do commend Mr. Jack Phillips. But, you know, it's one of those plaguing questions that Christians are faced with every day. Because you can look at it like, you know, well, look, Christians don't want to help. Christians aren't fair. But is that the truth? No. It's not really the truth. It's just that we should be able to have our freedoms to follow the Bible, right? Number five, which way should we go? Now, every week it seems to be a new issue, right, that confronts Christians, you know? And Satan loves this, you know? The devil loves to pull us away from church, loves to pull us away from God, okay? As a result, we swing like a pendulum from one to another, okay? How many of you guys think, as Christians today, are we too mean? By show of hands, or are we too cowardly? Where do we stand? Are we too mean, or are we too cowardly, right? Now, I think the problem is, which way should we go, is we have leaders that are hypocritical and leaders that have experienced too much moral failure, right? That's why, Pastor Son, I give kudos to you and your wife. You hold the standard high for all of us. But moral leaders now are terrible. Think about it. What's been in the news lately, right? Y'all seen that hashtag go around, Me Too, right? It's a big thing now, right? A lot of executives are losing their jobs because they're not acting appropriately in the workplace, right? And it's amazing to see. We know what's been going on, but it's amazing for people to actually go out and admit this, right? But look at our leaders. Has Donald Trump failed us morally? Right? He needs to get off Twitter, right? One of the guys that I followed ever since I was a little kid, Russell Simmons, even he is having issues, and I couldn't believe it, right? And that's the problem. Moral leader, our leaders are failing us. Leaders at churches are failing us. Recently, yesterday, well, not yesterday, a couple days ago, a mother at this church reached out to me that says that her son doesn't want to go to church anymore. And he used to go to this church a long time ago. So I reached out to him and says, hey, we're doing a little bit of fellowship. We're going to go play a laser tag. We're going to eat at Chick-fil-A. Why don't you come out? So luckily, he did come out. So I wanted to chat with him and go, hey, why don't you go to church anymore? He said, John, yeah, I used to go to y'all's church, and then we moved. We went to another church. I really didn't like it. And then I stopped going to church. So I started to probe and ask more questions. So we're at Chick-fil-A. And I love taking kids to Chick-fil-A because the service is great. And he even said, he goes, man, the service here is good because it's run by Christians. So he doesn't have a negative connotation to our faith. He just doesn't like to go to church. So I'm like, okay. We went out. He seemed very happy. And apparently it's been a while because when I got out of the car, he didn't recognize me because apparently when he was still at church, I still had hair. So it's been this long. He goes, who are you? I go, it's John, man. You don't remember me? And he's like, oh, yeah, but you had more hair last time, right? Oh, yeah, I shaved it all off. And he's like, okay. So apparently he's been gone from this church for probably 2 to 3 years. And the sad thing is, I kind of missed him too. I didn't remember. And to his mom, reach him up. And he doesn't go to church regularly. He came to church every now and then, but he was always a part of our class. So the mom reached out to me and says, we need to get him back to church. And I said, sure. But again, you have to want to get help for me to help, right? But we went out. We had fellowship. He hung out with Ani and, you know, Jonathan and James, which are excellent, you know, kids. And I want them to rub off on him. Right? But again, something happened at church that's pushing him away from church, right? And, you know, we're not all perfect. You know, I'll say things that will, I have said things that probably ticked off a lot of my students, and I don't mean it in any way, right? I don't mean any bad harm or anything. But there's a lot of times that we drive people away from church. We do, by our actions. Maybe we're having an off day. Maybe, you know, we woke up and we didn't have our Starbucks yet. And we're angry. We come to church and we say something we don't mean. Right? That's why patience and humility is so important. That's why being humble will guard you from pride. Just think about that. Remember y'all used to wear those braces, what would Jesus do? Nobody wears that anymore. People need to start wearing them again because maybe they would think twice before they say something else. Right? And how many of you guys believe it's hard to have an honest conversation in church? Especially a conservative church. You know, we were raised in an older Vietnamese church where everything is very conservative. So is it hard for, like, let's say the student that I met with a couple days ago to really tell his mom what the issue is? It is, right? And I don't want that. I think our church needs to be where we're open and honest. We're not perfect, but we need to be open and honest with each other, right? And that's how we're going to get the sick back to church. Or that's how we're going to nurse the church back to health, right? Okay? It says, the Barna study points out, despite a growing epidemic of loneliness, there's a growing epidemic of loneliness, and they're tying this with prescription pills that fix depression, right? That people take a lot of medication for depression. Okay? Only 10% report going to church to find a community. 10%. Where should you be able to go to find community? Church. Right? Where should you be able to go to talk to your talk about your problems? Church. But this study shows only 10%, right? And it's not just only our church. A lot of church has this problem, right? And I think the bigger you get, the bigger this problem is going to be, because you'll have, it's not one whole unit, all right? Number six, or have we become the church of Laodicea, right? Now, this church once in Turkey used to be considered one of the strongest churches ever, right? But because of our lukewarm, neither hot or cold stand, we don't stand for anything. And the atheist people are becoming more strategic in championing their godless worldviews, right? Think about it. I was talking to a coworker of mine while we're getting coffee one day. And he's like, John, I hear you're a Christian. I go, yes, I am. Would you like to talk about it? First thing I want to do. Then he goes, John, I don't believe in all that. Evolution is key. That's why we teach it in school. It's the truth. I go, evolution in what way? He goes, you know, we've evolved from monkeys. You see the progression. And I said, okay, if that's the case, why do we still have monkeys? If evolution is so true, shouldn't they have evolved, right, like us? Okay? And like, no, John. God didn't create the universe. Two atoms came together, and then everything is here. I said, really? How long was this ago? He goes, John, this is millions, hundreds of millions of years ago. I go, okay. Hundreds of millions of years ago. So why don't two atoms again hit together and form somewhere else? Go search. What's out there? You won't find a place like this, right? Think about it. The further you go out, is there a place like Earth, right? So we kept arguing. He's like, no. And, you know, our views sometimes become self-contradicting. They're like, well, John, when you Christian guys, you know, you're not quite honest with one another, right? And I go, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, all y'all televangelists, and I see all these bad things that happen. I go, but you can't judge the faith by the people. We're not perfect. We will make mistakes, okay? Next problem is a lack of honesty in church, right? And, like, who do you trust? How many of you been betrayed before, right? How many of you been betrayed by, like, your best friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know, politicians? Has the church betrayed you? This is another thing that's driving people away from church. Like that student that we took out yesterday that we're trying to get back in church. I'm hoping that he'll be here today. But just because of one person's action, right, has driven people away. And that's just one student. If you guys can think about it, how many students do we have that we don't see anymore? Think about it. Is it more than 10? More than 15? Maybe more than 20? Right? And, you know, it's now the lack of trust of everything. People don't trust the police. People don't trust politicians. Right? People don't trust even, you know, when I was growing up, scientists. How many of you guys watch Bill Nye the Science Guy? Dude! Used to watch him every Saturday morning. Did you like him? Yeah. But he is one of the biggest people out there talking against our faith. And it was funny to watch him in the lab coat, and he's all joking around with science and doing this little experience. But when he's doing interviews about going against Christianity, I'm like, wow. How could this be? I looked up to this guy when I was a little kid. For those of you that are old enough, it's almost like Mr. Rogers. Y'all know who Mr. Rogers is? Dude, imagine if Mr. Rogers came out and went, whoa, Christianity this, church this, I don't like the church. I would be devastated. Mr. Rogers. So same thing with Bill Nye and your generation, I guess, for the younger kids. Right? Right? In James chapter 1, verses 26, it says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep the tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I don't think our religion is worthless. I don't think our relationship with God is worthless. That's why we have to mind our tongue. You know, in the Bible it says what? Slow to speak, fast to what? Listen. But we don't like to do that nowadays, right? We want to be right. See? I've been with my wife for 20 years. She always wants to be right, no matter what. So I've learned to listen all the time. Right? Another thing that's driving Christianity or people away from church or issues that we're facing is bad publicity. I don't know if you guys can see this, but on the receipt here it says, I give God only 10%. Why are you asking for 18 or 20%? And he left zero. Okay? Does this paint us in a good picture? Right? Now, my wife was a waitress for 6 years at IHOP, you know, putting herself through college. She depended on the tips. So when you guys go out, please, please tip your servers, okay? But this doesn't make us look good, right? And then he put zero, and he signs it pastor whatever. So this is from a pastor, right? So could you imagine if you were this server, would you be inclined to go to church? What happens if you're teetering on like, hey, I think I'm going to go to church one day. Would this stop you from doing it? Okay? Now, there's also hate churches that also give us bad publicity, right? Right? What about Westboro? They preach hate speech. And a lot of people take and run with that. They sit there and they go, oh, I hate this, I hate that. It should be this way. It doesn't promote the love that our church should. And the problem is, non-Christians will see that and go, all Christians are like that. Okay? Hate, a lot of hate groups stand behind the church, right? Like, there's a guy by the name of Matthew Hale who wants to incite a holy war. Right now he's serving 40 years in prison, right? But he's using the church in the guise to promote his hate speech, right? So, I'm going to wrap it up. Back to basics. You know, it says, just start being the heart and hands, the voice, and the compassion of the body of Christ. Be the hands, be the mouth, be the feet of Jesus to go help people. That's all you need to do. If we can follow the basics, will we get more people back to church? Will we help ourselves, right, not alienate ourselves from church, okay? And the last thing is, are we willing to serve? In Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We have to be willing to serve. Just like the shirt that Ani's wearing, he wears it proudly. We have to be willing to serve. Right? Okay? So, it says Christianity is, right? Believers, one-on-one relationship with the creator of the universe. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Right? So, we have to put that in our mindset. You know, like I said, I find something that you love to do. Love to serve in what way? I love to volunteer at the food bank. That's one of the things I love to do. You guys find that niche that you want to do. If you like doing it, you're going to do more of it, right? So think about it. It doesn't have to be the food bank. It can be many other things, okay? Even mentoring other younger kids at church. So those are like the 10 things. That we need to look at as Christians today, okay? If anything else, if you guys rise, I'll pray for you real quick, and we'll end the service. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all together. Please let us be closer to you and the church. Please guide everybody here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.